we all have something to learn from everyone. I think, you know, everybody has something to learn by watching and listening. I'm Michelle Drum, e-commerce and marketing director at The Farmhouse and amateur equestrian. With me, as always, is Adam Rittenberg, owner of AJR Sport. Adam, what's going on today?
Yeah, we're back today for another exciting episode, which is always fun. And that's going to be another highlight of my week, getting to do this podcast with you. So I definitely look forward to it every week. And now we're back to do it again.
Yeah, and this week we've got some great questions from our listeners and some of the groups that I'm in with amateur equestrians about, hey, you know, what questions do you have with bits? And if we don't cover it today, if you want to put it in the comments, we'd love to hear your questions too. But these are the ones that we got submitted. You want to get started?
Yeah, let's get right into it and I'll break it down for you the best I can. And I just want to remind everyone that these are my opinions and everyone's entitled to their own.
Absolutely. Well, let's see. We've got Amanda and she asks, she tells us a little bit about her horse. She's got an off-track thoroughbred who loves a Tom Thumb bit without the curb chain, but obviously she can't show in it. She thinks that he probably prefers pole pressure to mouth pressure. And she was wondering if you could suggest other bit options for hunters that do something similar. So that she can keep him happy.
So it's really difficult now with the hunter rules and equitation. What I do know is that very often you will see the hunter go in a Pelham, and there's nothing wrong with that. You, just because the industry says they should go in a D bit or a full cheek, it doesn't make it wrong to go in a Pelham. It just doesn't, especially if it's a baby Pelham or something a little bit less obnoxious. You know, I wouldn't say, you know, let's use 140 millimeter shank, but I do think it's perfectly acceptable. You know, if I was judging and I saw this horse with this absolutely stunning jump and it went in a Pelham, I wouldn't even be looking at the bit, because the objective is to have a beautiful trip. That is what we're going for. We want a smooth and round, and we want it all to flow. And if that horse needs a little bit of pole pressure to make that work, I don't see anything wrong with it, you know. So you have to do what works best within the rules, and sometimes flirting with not conventional is okay. You're allowed to do things that are not.
What about lifters? Like, you know, you see some of the milers. Sometimes, occasionally, you'll see them in the huntering. If they're well done, you really can't tell there's a lift in there. You know, what would you think about maybe using something like that?
I'm not a fan. Honestly, I would rather stick to something more traditional, especially from like a judging aspect. I think that there's a lot of things you can do to get the same sort of effect that you're looking for.
Yeah, true. They do make, you know, you can't just remove the chain curb and go with a leather curb, or, you know, Equifit makes a padded curb, memory foam. So there are other options out there to try with your horse. So that's definitely a good point. Let's move on to Renee. Renee asks, with so many harsh bits on the market, like double twisted wires and chains, etc. How does that affect the horse's mechanics of their body and of their mouth?
Yeah, so, you know, the thing is with those kind of bits, typically you really shouldn't have an amateur using them. I don't think an amateur or someone who doesn't understand how it affects the horse and the mechanic should even be using that kind of bit to begin with. If you don't understand what you're using, you shouldn't be using it. So the second part of to answer that question would be, you know, the issue is that if you use a double twisted wire or something a little strong or harsh were her words, that bit, let's say for a horse with a soft mouth, you're going to make them absolutely offended, you know, stuck behind the motion. That will overall affect the jump, because then it's not going to follow through with its body. You're going to lose shape. You're going to lose its hind end. The two-legged human has failed in a lot of ways. Okay. We failed because we wanted shortcuts. We've wanted instant gratification. We are not patient, or we just don't have the knowledge to solve problems. So we use tools that we shouldn't to give us a band-aid. So is there an application? Sure. There is an application for it, and there are horses that benefit from it. You know, if you're an amateur, obviously any professional that's listening to this, you know, I would hope that they know what it does and how it works. So that's kind of my take on how it affects mechanics. But one thing I want to add to that, there are horses, you know, when you put something stronger in their mouth, that actually you get a nicer result throughout their body. They could just be abrasive and just rude in their mouth. Could be from lack of training.
ungrateful, hard mouth. Like, yeah.
Could be from a lot of things. Could be from just poor anatomy.
Another, the flip side, I think, to her question is that, you know, being close to Tryon, I get out there in the mornings and I see a lot of these jumper riders who will show in the afternoons or in the pre's or whatever, and they're out there flattening a Snapple. They're out there doing their flat work in a Snapple, and the horse is perfectly quiet. But then, you know, when the lights go on and the crowd shows up and the jumps get big and the atmosphere is there, you know, I feel like sometimes there are those horses that are, you know, freaks of nature and jump like that, that, you know, they might need a little something like, hey, we got to slow down or crash through it. You know,
are there horses that freeze and get strong in this under the lights and under pressure and the jumps big and take them, the rider, because they're, of course. And I do think, you know, to your point, you very rarely see a Grand Prix rider putting something super strong in the horse's mouth before the class. Typically, they want to keep, I know, at least when I was riding, you know, I wanted to have a feel with the horse's mouth. So I would use something, even if it was ripping my arms out, you know, I would use just the snaffle because I wanted to sort of break up that stiffness. I wanted to feel the horse's mouth. Sometimes when you use a strong bit, you take away from the actual feel. And that's the problem. You know, you kind of like,
you don't feel what they're thinking.
No,
you don't feel their attitude. You just, it's just, okay, we're here.
Yeah, you're forcing it. You're grabbing them by the throat and you're saying you will.
Yeah, well, you should have the educational skills to back that up when you get to that point that there is no other option other than like, hey, this is what we need to do to get the job done and you need to do it.
Yeah,
let's move on to, this one's a great question. Natalie wants to know, she wants some advice on fitting horses with tricky anatomy, like big lips, thick tongues, low palates, parrot mouth, like, fitting horses like that, you know, what are your suggestions where those conformational issues pop up?
We have to divide things into sections. We won't be able to cover each one of them because there are so many different probabilities, let's call it. But if we break it down and we say a horse that has big lips, right, we will kind of want to use a smooth mouthpiece because we're going to avoid pinching.
Okay.
So that would be my go-to for a horse that has big lips. We're going to do this separately, not all together, because you can have a combination of them, but that's just too complicated to comprehend in a short time. So a horse with a thick tongue, typically, we only have enough room in our mouth, right? And if the tongue is taking up a large portion of the space in the horse's mouth, I would opt for something like a thinner mouthpiece, just because the tongue is already pretty fleshy.
What do you think about bits with like some tongue relief? It's not really a port, but it's got some arch to it to allow for some more extra room for the tongue.
I think that there's definitely an application for that as well. I know a ton of horses that go in a tongue relief bit. You just have to be careful that if you're going to use the tongue relief bit, that your horse doesn't have a low palate, because now you're contradicting the what you're doing. You're not helping the horse at all. You know, for example, if you had a horse with, you know, a low palate, because that was the next, you know, the next one, typically what I would do, of course, my favorite thing in the world is the hinge. So you could get something made that's custom that I would make. For example, I would do like a very low port, soft, right? That had some tongue relief, and I would probably make it a hinge, like a hinge port. Okay. So we could solve, just because there needs to be some flexibility in the mouth. I think something straight like that is really difficult for a horse with a low palate.
You're going to hit it. You know, it's going to get
hit. You're going to hit it.
Yeah, you're going to hit it.
It's a reel. I mean, it's there. Funny enough, about the paramouth comment, I had a wonderful customer of yours who had a horse that she was really struggling with. And I watched the video and I said, you know, I really have the solution for you. She kind of looked at me. She's like, okay, all right, dude, sure you do, right? Whatever, you're just telling me. Anyway, I said, you got to trust me. I set her up with the right bridle setup, which we won't get into because it's a whole other thing. But we did go for a Morph rubber block bit, the one that you shape.
The horse will hold it a specific way and it'll stay that way.
Right. And I love that for a paramouth horse. And this horse was a paramouth horse. Anyway, the horse went in the class and she jumped double clear. And it was absolutely gorgeous to watch. It was one of my favorite, probably one of my highlights in consulting that I've done. It was one of my favorite moments because I was there to watch the horse go in the ring and just to see the joy that the girl had and, you know, the trainer and who I believe is her mom. It just was a really
how
nice.
Happy the horse was. Yeah.
So, you know, paramouth is really difficult. So Paramouse, they're a little more difficult. Kind of have to look at the whole picture.
You've got a lot to consider there. Let's see. We have one more question today. This one's from Taylor. She wants to know if you could pick any two bits to have for all the horses in your barn. What two bits would they be and why?
So obviously my favorite bit of all time, and actually I think a lot of you who have the bit, it would be your favorite bit of all time, is the rubber block bit. Specifically, if I had to pick a cheek piece, I'd probably go for a Pelham, just because I think that a Pelham, you know, you got to have something with pull pressure. You got to have something with leverage. You can put a converter to kind of soften it. I love a Pelham in general. I just think they're really great bits. But other than that, the rubber combined with the rubber block, definitely top pick for me to have. And I think every horse does well with them, including the horse with the Paramouth, as we just discussed. And my second choice would probably be a Waterford, like a Copper Roller Waterford loose ring. You have to have a loose ring. And I think a Waterford's a great tool. They are stronger than people think, but nonetheless, I think that there are a lot of horses that are heavy, and this sort of breaks up the ability for them to fix and lean on the forehand. So I would definitely go for like a Copper Roller Waterford loose ring. And
why the loose ring? I'm curious. Can you elaborate on that?
I think that a loose ring is super useful in general because it is really basic, right? And it allows for movement, and it's just a nice cheek piece, if you will. I think most horses go well in a loose ring nonetheless, right? I mean, I've never heard of someone say, my horse absolutely hates a loose ring. You know what I mean? Maybe they would say it's not enough bit, it's this, it's that. You know, you occasionally get someone that says, oh, it pinches at this. Okay, but put the tape or a bit guard on it.
True. I mean, there's enough products on the market now for pickup wears.
If you speak with other riders and see what they're doing and what works, you might actually be able to take parts of what other people say and make it your own.
Agree. We all have something to learn from everyone, I think. You know, everybody has something to learn by watching and listening. And my favorite thing is to hang out at the schooling ring and listen to what other trainers are telling other students and what they're dealing with and how what the trainers are saying works for that rider. Like it's just educational all the way around. That's about all the time we have for today to answer some questions. We do have some more, but we're going to hold off on those for the next time. Do you have anything else to add today, Adam? Or?
No, I think that's great. I was happy with being able to respond to those and hopefully be informative and give the people asking the question answers they were looking for. And I'm happy to answer more on the next episode.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening today, guys. And let us know what you think about this week's topic in the comments below. And if you have questions, feel free to list them on YouTube and or send the Farmhouse a message on Facebook or Instagram. We're happy to answer them, or we'll hold on to them till the next show, and you might see your question asked there. So until next week, we'll see you next time.